But I do have a little sound effect for you.
Oh, yeah.
For the next hour.
And I'll cut back to 24 and a half minutes.
The Dirty Disbelievers.
Evil! Evil!
Oh, what a lot.
I can hear them. I can hear them all.
What's going on?
Give me more, Mr. Announcer Guy.
Today on the show, complete economic collapse with a man who's been through a few himself, John C. Dvorak. And we finally solved the JFK mystery. Sort of.
I would like to know.
And now for the star of the show.
I'm getting more and more confused.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. Such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.
The flying lizards, money, that's what we haven't got. Welcome to the Dirty Disbelievers, when going nowhere fast isn't fast enough. My name's Maynard, and of course we have an anomalous over there, Jamie Leonardo. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
You would have been a fan of the flying lizards. That
I love that song. There's some extraordinary tunes. They deconstructed pop music and no one was even aware.
And it's really hard to get a hand on their second album, if you should, worth looking for. And we have the flying lizards' second album with you, Dr. Rachel Dunlop, cell biologist and vice president of the Australian Skeptics.
I'm afraid I don't have their second album, Maynard.
Ah, this is a special podcast edition, the last sixth show of a six-show series. And over there we have Richard Saunders, vice president of the Australian Skeptics. He was a judge on the one that was, you know, decided by a phone poll. So why be there, Richard? I always wonder, you know. I mean, you were telling them what you thought, and at the end they went, ah, yeah, we'll just ring somebody.
They'll call a friend.
It was call a friend. Why was I there, Maynard? I often wonder that myself. It's fun to be on TV.
Although you did design some of the tests, and you do know a lot about probability.
Well, I can say that I suggested some tests, and I was the overseer to make sure that they were at least somewhat scientifically valid, yeah.
Now, later on to the show, we'll have John C. Dvorak on the show, a tech analyst, a money man, a cyclist. He believes in economic cycles. He's writing a book, although the book is on a bit of a cycle as well. It was due about 5 or 6 years ago. And a full-time buzzkill, and of course, a co-presenter on No Agenda. And we did get some crank mail from Adam Curry, who said he's a regular listener to the Disbelievers, and he said, Maynard, be careful. Now, when Adam Curry tells your show to be careful, you're either on the money or you're on the slippery slide to woo land. dirty news to start with. I think we'll start with Richard.
Richard Saunders.
There's a bit of a theme here. Listeners may remember that we've been discussing vibrations in the pants.
That's right. We on last show, we had like about half a dozen or so people that reported phantom pants vibration when their phone was not ringing.
And then I discussed the bum identifier, that when you sit down in the car, it knows who you are.
That's right. Goosometric recognition. I've already copyrighted that word.
You were quick. Now I want to talk about no pants.
No pants, okay.
No pants.
Oh, look, any guy will tell you, getting home, and that no pants time of day is a great time of day. Do girls have the no pants thing going on too? I mean,
I can't say in this environment, Maynard. There is a hashtag, though, so if you follow me on Twitter at Dr. Rachie, you can see if that hashtag ever pops up, and then you'll know that there are no pants.
Cool. And, of course, if you want to add something to the show on this show, it's hashtag DD Believers, and let us know what you think about us, and be warned, we'll tell you what we think of you.
Well, but let Richard, us know if you're wearing pants now, maybe.
Well, yeah. It's always worth knowing about. Richard, what's your no pants investigation?
An interesting thing happened, and it's been happening for many years now, which is No Pants Day, or to be more precise, when it's in New York City in early January, it's No Pants Subway Ride.
That's right, and we have that in a couple of Australian cities as well.
We do. This was started by a group called Improv Everywhere, a New York-based prank collective, and the whole idea was to turn up, to go on the subway, and remove your trousers for the ride, wearing, of course, tasteful underwear.
Mm.
This was to surprise and delight your fellow subway travellers.
And show your bat signal.
Your bat signal?
Yeah, if you had, like, bat signal undies.
You could. Maybe we could have dirty disbeliever undies. Let's look into that. Now, this has taken off around the world. In fact, there were thousands of people just in the week gone by doing it in winter in North America and in northern climes. Can you imagine that? In New York City, in the middle of winter, no pants on the subway.
And Seattle,
Exactly. That would be very cold.
But apparently here in Australia, it's the first Friday of May is No Pants Day. Now, will you be taking part, Maynard?
Look, I've done a lot of no pants action in the past, usually on stage in nightclubs in front of people. So I think I've done my fairness. And, you know, I was younger and better then and no one was interested. So I don't think I should be trying that again now.
Now, this is part of something called a flash mob. Or in this case, it's a flesh mob.
Well, we do know a person who participates in No Pants Day here
in
Sydney.
Yes, yes.
His name is at Bastard Sheep on Twitter. So follow him and he'll probably be posting photos in early May when he takes City Fail in no pants.
Yes.
Which I have to say is quite brave, Maynard.
Dirty news story for us, Dr. Reggie.
I have got a dirty news story. This is a story about a dead mouse that was found in a can of soft drink recently.
Ooh.
Soft drink made by PepsiCo. The guy who found it took them to court to sue them for damages because he claims he found a dead mouse in his can of drink. And it turned into a bit of a stoush because PepsiCo defended themselves by saying that their soft drink is so corrosive that there's no way a mouse could be in there after 15 months, which is how long it took for him to drink it from when it was manufactured.
That would be mainly due to the action of the phosphoric acid.
No, normally, because in a Coke-flavoured or a cola-flavoured drink, there's phosphoric acid. But in fact, this was a fruit, lemony-flavoured drink, so that has citric acid. So there have been studies looking at the rate of sort of degradation of bone or teeth usually with things like citric acid. But one of the things that PepsiCo said, which kind of got them into strife, was they said, well, the bones would rot away after 15 months, but you'd still find the collagen and soft tissue inside.
When we talk about mice being in cans of drink, this immediately leads us to the Kennedy assassination.
Of course it does.
And last week on the
it
show...
It took you that long to connect it.
Jabe, last week on the show, Jessica Adams gave a rather cryptic clue to what she thought Lee Harvey Oswald's role was in the assassination of JFK by asking me what's my favourite soft drink. And I could only assume that would have been Pepsi or Coke at the time. And is there a Pepsi-Coke connection or something?
There is a connection with Nixon, who was actually in Dallas that day for a Pepsi convention and was at the house of Clint Merkinson, I think, the night before. Now, this is a very interesting sort of little conundrum, that party at Clint Merkinson's, who was a big oil baron.
And this is the night before?
The night before. Linda Johnson went to that. J. Edgar Hoover was at that party. And so they all suspect, and evidently Johnson came barreling out saying that the Kennedys will, you know, we won't have any trouble with the Kennedys after what happens to them tomorrow. Basically, you know, maybe planning the assassination. Now, I wanted to, you know, on this, maybe I'll take my little news segment here to ask these two incredible members of the Skeptics why they believe Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin when in the late 70s, the official verdict by the US government through the House Select Committee stated that they had realised that there were more than three bullets, quite possibly a conspiracy, and they believe that there are at least two shooters.
Jamie Leonardo.
It's really hard to answer a question like that because you're basically dumping on us lots of stuff from your point of view, lots of information, which we have not thoroughly researched, so we cannot possibly answer all your questions.
You yourself say there's a lot of disinformation around this particular story, and it would
Of course there is. I mean, that's just the nature of any sort of media over the last four or five decades.
But if he was not the lone assassin, are you suggesting that there are other shooters at other angles firing bullets at JFK?
Yeah, and I'm suggesting that there's a lot of information in the public arena to say that Lee Harvey Oswald may have never fired a shot himself. I mean, the paraffin tests are very questionable.
You know, the reconstructions of the film and where the bullet goes into the president's neck and comes out and carries
and
on.
Are you aware of the work by Dr. Jim Fetzer and now analysing the Zapruder film and seeing that the Zapruder film itself could have been tampered with?
What you have to do is bring us who these other people were and prove your point.
What I was saying to you is that the official line by the US government, the last official line, not the Warren Commission, was the House Select Committee. They stated to the American public and the world at large that it looked like JFK's death, his assassination, was caused by conspiracy, and there were at least another shooter.
You're talking about this meeting in Dallas the night before. How could we possibly counter what you say when we know nothing about it?
Let's talk about this. I mean, the word conspiracy and theory seem to go together in popular culture. They're not the same thing. That's two words added together, and one word there trivialises the notion of conspiracy. You'd be well aware that conspiracy is brought up in legal terms 9 times out of 10. People conspire all the time.
Unfortunately, when you have to resort to making your point of view by saying, it must have happened because I think there's a huge cover-up, and the more you dig into it, the more cover-up there is, that's not evidence for the thing that you're promoting in the first place.
We have reached a definitive. The people have spoken. And look, as you know, we did want to get an answer to the JFK conspiracy.
Oh, well, you're not going to get an answer.
We did a survey.
Oh, right.
It's like the Daily Telegraph, the Warren Commission, the Family Feud. It's like a mixture of that. We surveyed a group of eight people.
God help us.
It's split 50-50 on whether
if there is a God.
Well,
and that's up for question.
That's for next season.
Next season.
Was Lee Harvey Oswald the lone gunman? Interestingly enough, it's split 50-50. This is how it's split. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, Jay and Jessica Adams all say, no, he wasn't. And the people who say that he was are Richard, Brian Dunning, and George Frum. So
can I just bring up something there, though, Maynard? In fact, Jessica Adams didn't say yes, did she?
Well,
she said, what's your favourite soft drink?
Yeah.
Can't actually classify that as a yes or a
no. Thank you, Rach.
You're listening to The Dirtiest Believers, already in progress. And in fact, it's time to get some progress going here because we're talking about complete economic collapse, John C. Dvorak style. He reckons it's already happened. Now, John C. Dvorak is the co-presenter of the No Agenda show, along with Adam Curry. He's been a tech analyst and a money market analyst for many years. He's seen Jimi Hendrix on more than one occasion live. Let's drop in on the world of John C. Dvorak. Already in progress.
What, really? He saw Jimi Hendrix?
The Dirty Disbelievers.
What is Dirty Disbelievers? What is a Dirty Disbeliever? Do you have to be dirty?
Making for an interesting mix so far.
I'll bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the line, on Skype, we have sitting there in his bunker of, I don't know, what is your bunker of, John?
It's made out of bricks.
His bunker of bricks, which could be North Silicon Valley, it could be somewhere in Washington State, we just don't know. John C. Dvorak, of course, known for his column in PC Mag, X3, where he gets a bit of a panel going there. He loves talking to millennials as well, which I'm sure he'll talk about in a moment. And, of course, from the No Agenda show, John C. Dvorak.
Thanks, Maynard.
As a complete outsider like I am, I see the stock market as being complete smoke and mirrors. As someone who's known it for a while, is that the case? Is it all bogative?
A lot of people believe it's in fact, most of the people that have been in it for a long time believe that it's rigged. But that doesn't mean you can't make money. You just have to be on the right side of the game.
With Andrew Horowitz, is there a marker, an indicator you guys look at that is a real indicator of the way the market's going and the way the economy's going? Some people say it's women's lipstick. Some people say it's hemlines. Is there something over the decades?
Yeah.
Is there something that is stuck that you reckon is a good one?
In fact, there's really nothing. Although I still think the hemline thing is a good indicator, and there's probably some other ones. I believe because of the cycles, I think we're in a worldwide depression, and it's just that we're just doing a good job of covering it up so far.
You're a cyclist. You believe in the various economic cycles. Are we in a huge 100 or more year or 70-year cycle economically at the moment?
It's a 40 and 80-year cycle the way I have it, and this is the bad 10 years. Really won't clear up until 2020.
Is there anything that anyone can do?
No. It's kind of the business cycle, which has a lot of components. A lot of them we don't fully understand and seems to happen over and over again. You can take it back. You can pin the Dutch tulip collapse on the same cycle. The reason that we didn't have a really bad depression from 1970 to 1980, which was the downturn, and we had nothing but trouble, but it was kind of staved off. It was a depression, but it was staved off a little bit by the fact that we had Glass-Steagall and some of these other protections in place. But it's one of those crazy things that you put protections in place and then nothing happens. And he said, well, what do we need these protections for? The thing that keeps you from having a mess, in this case, we'll say Glass-Steagall among two or three other items. You don't have a mess. And so then you say, well, we need Glass-Steagall for. What did it do? Glass-Steagall was fine. We don't really need banks mixing money that from savings with investments, with insurance. I mean, the idea was the Glass-Steagall was to break up stockbroker, insurance company, bank, and investment bank into entities that had to be separate because they were using each other. They were using monies from the different funds. They were just setting themselves up. They couldn't not speculate, especially in 29. And so Glass-Steagall separated them out. You couldn't be a bank and an insurance company, a stockbroker. In fact, in the United States, the banks had to be you couldn't even have a bank in two states. You know, the Bank of America was a California bank. It wasn't a national bank like it is now. They changed all that back to the way it was. And now here's what we've got, a mess.
Do you and Andrew have a bit of a laugh at the day traders that were really popular in the early 90s there, these people that could just get online, follow the market, and make money? And now if you did that, you would lose your shirt very quickly.
That's not actually true.
No?
We don't have much of a laugh with them because there's a number of – in fact, a friend of mine who couldn't get work, very smart guy, has been a day trader for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's making – close to $200,000 a year.
But I thought in such a volatile market.
No, you just, the tools are newer. They just don't talk about it as much. Day trading used to be considered something that you used to mock. And it's just assumed what you assumed, which is that it's a loser. But the fact is, there's a lot of people making serious money. And what they're really doing is day trading, because the way the markets have shifted over the years, day trading is one of the few ways you can actually make money. Long-term investment doesn't work at all.
Right, because I thought that because the market is volatile, if you keep your eye off it for a while, you can...
Oh, no, you can't. You have to. That's absolutely true. But these day traders are just essentially pinned. They're pinned to the market on a minute-by-minute basis, and they're moving a lot of stuff back and forth and back and forth. It's not... You can't be casual about it. You have to be serious about it, and it's like a full-time job. I wouldn't do it. It seems like a boring thing to do, but that's what they do.
John C. Dvorak, so we can all be in your mindset there, what is the sign of the apocalypse that we should be looking for? What's the thing that will be announced? What's the event that will happen that will indicate that things are going really bad?
Well, things are going really bad now, but I'm still looking at the collapse of the euro. They can't make this thing work. And I think that's one bad thing. And then I'm also expecting, no matter who wins the presidency in 2013 will be a depression year, no matter what happens. And it has been put off once in the cycle, and that was in the 1849. 1853 should have been a huge depression, but it wasn't. It was pushed off to 1857, which was considered one of the worst American depressions. And that could happen this time, and it would be pushed off to 2017. You can't get past 2017 without a depression. The EU, the overpriced, the euro, I just think it's the EU collapsing is going to be the kind of the giveaway to get out of town. I don't recommend people go long in any stock. I think they should be out or thinking of good short ideas. it's just a time to find something else to do with your time.
Of course, here in Australia, we can put off economic downturn the same way they did in San Francisco by discovering gold, by digging minerals up and selling them to China, and that's probably going to do us for a little while.
Well, actually, that is what saved the economy in 1853. It turns out, if you do the math, the gold that came out of the West Coast and all up and down to Alaska, down to South America, there was a lot of gold and silver that was pumped into the system. And if you calculate the amount by today's dollars, it was close to $30 trillion, which is what it would take, by the way, to save this economy when no one's going to let you print that much money. Gold, because you can discover it like that and pump in $30 trillion, is exactly the same as printing money. So gold would pumped into the system $30 trillion, and it staved off a downturn and actually kept things going until 1857, when gold was actually blamed for the Depression. 1857 marked the first year that books about depressions really became popular. There's a number of books written about trying to explain what happened, and it's going to happen again after 2013 or 2017, depending. But we're not going to print enough money. You would have to print $30 trillion worth of money and pump it into the system, which no one's going to do because it's called printing money and it's evil. Even though that's what they did, that's what happened with gold. I don't know why this is any more evil, but it apparently is. It is if it causes hyperinflation, but there's no evidence of that. So, but no one's going to do that. So it's going to – we have a depression coming, like 2013. You can bank on it.
And so what's the best thing we can do?
Farmland is the Swedes study most of the depressions over history, and it turns out that farmland is your best investment. It starts to rise at the bottom of the depression, which would be, you know, I'm guessing again 2013. It could be have started rising already. And it goes up until 2020. It's a very standard pattern, and then it very slowly resorts back to its old pricing. So if you own farmland seems to be the only surefire investment in this sort of economy. I have a few acres, but I'll wait until the thing caves in. If I have any money left, the problem is, generally speaking, you do something wrong and all your money gets wiped out, so you have to scrape by until you won't be able to buy any farmland.
John C. Dvorak, a yes, no answer. You can have a bit of a qualifier if you like, but is the alien mothership on its way?
No.
Was Lee Harvey Oswald the lone gunman?
No.
If you drink a liter of milk really quickly, it'll come out of your nose.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as lucky undies?
No.
If you tidy your room and you're single before you go out, you'll never get anyone to come home with you.
Yes.
I don't think anyone anywhere on the planet is tidying their room before they go out for a night on the town.
It's a jinx.
Is bathroom tap water often nicer to drink than kitchen tap water?
No, never.
And the last one there. Now, listening to the Smiths can sometimes lead to a feeling of moroseness or negative ennui.
Yes, of course.
Every time? They've never cheered you up even once?
No, it's a depressing group.
And actually, what is your favorite group of all time when you're slipping a CD on, you know, that's a surefire one to get you going? What do you put on?
Well, I listen to classical music mostly. In fact, I have it in the house 24/7. I've done that for 30 years. But if I was going, a group I liked a lot that I would probably listen to just offhand, I really do enjoy Green Day. It's a good band.
John C. Dvorak, I look forward to the next show with Adam Curry on No Agenda. Thank you for joining us on the Dirty Disbelievers here. And, you know, I'm looking forward to my next denouncement.
Well, thanks a lot. No, but I do have a little sound effect for you.
Oh, yeah. Is the tap bell close by?
Tap bell's always close by. I keep it with me. It's fun to play. Oh, the starting pistol. That's what I need. Yeah. The Spike Jones band used to use a pistol as an instrument. The gunshot was always my favorite.
You're the dirty disbelievers. I can hear them. I can hear them all.
Yeah, sure you can, kid.
John C. Dvorak, economic cyclist, which means he's not like working out on a bike. He believes in cycles. So what do you think of the great tulip bulb collapse? Do you reckon that was a cycle, Jay?
Are we talking about parks and the recent Elvis Festival? Tulip bulbs come into the collapse of what's happening economically out there. I mean, what we're seeing now is, you know, maybe this is the road to the end of it, you know, December 21st, 2012, because, I mean, look at the US economy, look at what's happening in Europe, look at what's happening in Greece, look at what's happening with our dollar. I mean, do you remember what our dollar was worth during the Olympics in this country in comparison to what it's worth internationally now?
Is he just being, you know, just overly cynical and glass not only half empty, but the glass has been stolen from the room?
Well, is he talking about this everywhere, Maynard? Because there's just been a resurgence in the economy in Norway, for example, where they had a huge collapse about 3 years ago. Apparently, someone on Twitter today said they lost their AAA rating, but now they've got their ABBA rating back. Or maybe that was Sweden.
Sweden has a national Twitter account called @Sweden.
What?
And what they do is, I'm not joking, and what they do is every week a different citizen gets to have that Twitter account for 1 week. 1 week it was a sheep farmer. The week before last it was a lesbian truck driver who had photos of herself tweeting, driving along, getting herself in all sorts of trouble. I'm just wondering, do you think we should try that in Australia?
I don't know.
And also, once it's verified, if they're giving it to a person, different person every week, wouldn't it no longer be necessarily verified?
Yeah. I wonder if there is an @Australia.
What does a sheep farmer do with it?
Took lots of photos of the sheep, worked the land, and how proud he was of his country from an agricultural point of view, that sort of thing.
Really?
So the lesbian truck driver was probably a bit more interesting. But, you know, but agricultural-wise, you can't knock a Swedish sheep farm. You don't hear from them very often online.
Yeah. Here's some late-breaking news, Maynard. Oh. The Twitter account @Australia exists. It's got over 4,000 followers, and it's had 2 tweets.
Well, and like, see,
two tweets.
One of our sheep farmers would love to be on that and spark it up, and I'm sure there's a lesbian truck driver somewhere in Australia that would love to be on there.
What has it tweeted, Richard?
I went in a hot air balloon this morning. I'll post some images on the blog soon. P.S. It was great fun.
That is a hell of a basket. If everyone in Australia is on air balloon, that is a great photo. I would like to see that.
How about that?
Jay, this whole Twitter stuff must bemuse you as someone who doesn't take part in social media.
I think it's a shocking waste of time, but anyway.
Do you think the economic collapse has happened, is happening, or is it about to happen, and how we tell anyway?
I think it's difficult to tell, but I think, you know, it really does look like Rome is burning and the violins should be strung right at this moment, you know. I think that we should all be prepared for what looks like an impending economic collapse. Cycles, does it come in cycles? All roads lead back to Dealey Plaza, don't they? You know that Kennedy himself, 2 weeks beforehand, had started printing the original US greenback and taken the printing and money out of the hands of the Federal Reserve. So the only other president to do that in history, I believe, was Lincoln.
Oh, what happened to... Oh, yeah, right.
What happened to him, yes.
Right. Now, what about, Richard, what about audio cryptids? Do you know anything about audio cryptids?
Anything to do with EVP?
No, it's kind of like cryptozoology, but instead of an animal, it's an audio cryptid.
Oh, right.
So it's a sound that you can't explain. But there was a story about it this week because there were strange sounds in the sky, in fact, in Costa Rica. And this video has been, there's a video of these sounds that's been circulating for a while. And the first one that was taken was in Kiev. And it's a video of a woman filming out the front of her flats into a big space where there's a whole lot of blocks of flats around her. And you hear this very strange sort of metallic sound. The interesting thing about it, Maynard, was that she was filming people walking around on the ground, yet nobody else seemed to be looking up into the sky. And the idea was these sounds appear all around in the sky, but no one else was taking any attempt, making any big deal about it. But it's a global phenomenon, and it's been occurring in Costa Rica, the Ukraine, Canada, and Europe. It sounds like they've taken the sound from the one in the Ukraine and just put it on top of the one in Canada.
Jay, is this some sort of phenomenon you've noticed in the past?
Well, the anomalous sounds that date back historically to the beginning of the human race. I mean, I think one of the most famous American ones is the Taos hum that has been just going on for decade after decade.
Just to wrap up our complete economic collapse complete discussion, which you would all be completely aware of by now.
Where did we go with that?
I don't know.
It just sort of fell down a well, didn't it, in the last program here?
So, have we got complete economic collapse coming, and how would we tell? What would be the sign, you would think, Jay?
I don't know, the reappearance of the Nugenhand Bank, something like that. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's the banking system. Isn't it fractional banking? Doesn't that mean you're just making money and profit on money that doesn't exist, and then the Federal Reserve has to go, okay, let's just print another, you know, couple of $1 billion and just keep that market happy for a while? One day, that dead air that's printed as money has to come to fruition when everyone pulls it back in.
I have no clue.
And Richard, how do you feel about it? I mean, like,
and that's sort of what's happening in Greece now.
I would look for that key sign that would really tell us all. I'd look for that sign that said that no longer is the ABC 8 cents a day, but it's 9 cents a day.
Let's go out with something that's been the subtext of this entire show. Stonesky and Mass Media, an experimental media group from the late 80s, the motorcade sped on. Jay, your thoughts on this? This would be right up your alley.
Well, in reality, the motorcade didn't sped on. It came to a full stop. And that's what you'll see, the fabrication in the Zapruder film. Very fascinating. And, you know, remember, that was the year that Mary Poppins came out. So optical imaging was extraordinary at that point in time. So they've shot the Zapruder film before the cars have come onto that street. And that's why a lot of people, when they finally get to Dallas, they go, oh, my God, this is much smaller. Because
it's
of the stretch imagery in that film.
So as you can hear, there's a lot more Dirty Disbelievers in your future.
Oh, sorry, I didn't think that was going to be.
Wow.
When push comes to shove.
What's going on?
Tony Push, we've heard many people today talking about the possible economic collapse that could have already happened, and how will we know anyway?
A good indication is that you can go no further. Quite often you may see me sitting in a large park looking at pretty much my toes, and you'll know that I've had an economic downturn. That's where the budget is supposed to last 7 days, and it lasts 7 hours. What do you do with the rest of the 6 days and 13 hours? It's funny, though. It seems to be happening more often. I remember there was a time when I was getting paid 3 times a week. Of course, I was handsome then. I'm still as handsome, but there's just more erosion going on. So perhaps as well as my physical erosion, I've had an economic erosion.
So how do we know when the economic... What is the signal? What is the sign?
Oh, well, I'm bargaining for basics. I'm trying to get a cup of coffee that's $2.80 for $2.60, even though you're standing over the top of the person's tip jar, and you know that the next time you come in at the other end of the week, you may be able to give them a 20-cent tip. Do you see what I mean? And you're trying to explain that to them. Now, I'd imagine it's what you take for granted now is just an impossibility only by a shortfall in budget.
And how would that transfer to the nation? Well, what would be the nation's equivalent of trying to have a coffee and being 20 cents short?
Well, if you're used to having a coffee for $2.80 and you're not getting one at all for $2.60, then you're going to be awfully grumpy. You know what they say, no coffee, no worky.
When push comes to shove.
What's going on?
And now, here's Johnny.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas,
it appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Three shots were fired. Details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no.
Ich bin ein...
official, the Flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Time. Time.
We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution.
There is a prisoner. There is a prisoner. Wearing a black sweater. Do you have anything to say in your defense? Boswell has been shot. Boswell has been shot. Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby.
Ruby? Came from Texas.
He runs the carousel club. Here is the ambulance.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no. Details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no. Oh no.
The energy.
Oh no.
The faith.
Oh no.
The devotion.
Oh no. The motorcade sped on.
The Dirty Disbelievers. I feel better already.